This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا ما يهده الله فلا مضل له وما يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات ربه وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن دعا بدعوته إلى يوم الدين أما بعد beloved brothers and sisters in Islam السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته Today inshallah I'm going to reflect upon a lecture which was given about maybe more than 10 years ago by a Yemeni scholar by the name of Al-Awlaqi. I'll give some details about him later on. What he speaks about is amazing, and the way he interprets history is most amazing. And this particular lecture, it will probably be in a series, this particular lecture speaks about the victory of Islam. But the essence of this first lecture for me is that he compares our time to the time of the Sahaba. And let's see what he says about our time compared to the time of the Sahaba. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah arhamu, may Allah give him Jannah inshallah, Jannatul Firdaus al-A'la, ma'an nabiyyina wa siddiqeen wa shuhada'i wa salihin. He starts off by quoting the name of a book, Al-Kamil, written by the great scholar Ibn Athir, Syrian scholar. The title of this book was, إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ أَمْرًا هَيَّأْ لَهُ أَسْبَابًا If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to bring about a certain conclusion, a certain end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates the circumstances for that to come about. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants somebody to become rich, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates the circumstances for him in order to become rich. Allah wants to become an alim, Allah creates the circumstances. Allah wants him to become a doctor, Allah creates the circumstances. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates the circumstances not only for our individual lives, but for our collective lives and for the collective lives of the whole of humanity. So Allah is in charge. Alhamdulillah. Summa alhamdulillah. And he says that Allah, we can sense victory. Remember he said this quite a while ago. This is before 2008, when the economy of the world was in a state of collapse. This is before the coronavirus. So this is before all that. And he was just an ordinary person. He wasn't a prophet. He wasn't a saint. He wasn't. Let's hear what he says. Let's see how Allah inspires ordinary Muslims. Well, in a sense, he wasn't an ordinary Muslim. So he says, what is happening today is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preparing us and preparing the world for the victory of Islam. Subhanallah. And this victory is a victory not of his mind or his imagination. But this victory, he points out, is promised in the Quran and in the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it is not a matter of interpreting history. It's a matter of affirming and confirming what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us in the Quran. In other words, it's an absolute certainty that victory will come to the Muslims. It is an issue of yaqeen, absolute certainty. We must have yaqeen, we must have the aqeedah and the faith to be happy in the news that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised us victory in the Quran, and so did his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If you don't believe this with your full iman and yaqeen, then there is something wrong with your iman. Because Allah says so, confirmed by His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And He says, let us look at some of the proofs in the Quran of the victory of Islam. And of course, the victory of Islam is the victory of the Muslims. And the victory of Islam is the victory of freedom over oppression. And etc., etc., etc. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Anbiya, the 21st Surah, verse 105, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَلَقَدَ كَتَبْنَا فِي الزَّبُورِ مِنْ بَعْدِ الذِّكْرِ أَنَّ الْأَرْضَ يَرِثُهَا عِبَادِيَ صَالِحُونَ. First proof that victory belongs to this ummah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Surah Al-Anbiya, Surah 21. لَقَدَ كَتَبْنَا فِي الزَّبُورِ. We have written, we have recorded in the Zabur. It's a book revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مِنْ بَعْدِ الذِّكْرِ. Allah says, after I have confirmed this in previous scriptures, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I have confirmed this not only in the Zabur, but I have confirmed this in other revelations which I sent to other prophets. What is that? أَنَّ الْأَرْضَ يَرِثُهَا, that the earth shall be inherited by my good servants. عِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحُونَ. Who were the good servants? Those who believe in the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah As-Safat, Surah 37, verse 171, وَلَقَدَ سَبَقَتْ كَلِمَتُنَا لِعِبَادِنَا الْمُرْسَلِينَ إِنَّهُمْ لَهُمُ الْمَنْصُورُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and a word has gone before. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is going to happen. Allah doesn't say when, but Allah says, this is going to happen. Allah says, this I have said to لِعِبَادِنَا الْمُرْسَلُونَ, مُرْسَلِينَ, my messengers before. إِنَّهُمْ لَهُمُ الْمَنْصُورُونَ, that they shall be the victorious. And who's the last of those messengers whom Allah sent, and the last book that He sent? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and He came with Al-Quran. And in here it is confirmed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Surah Al-A'raf, Surah 7, verse 128, إِنَّ الْأَرْضَ لِلَّهِ يُرِثُهَا مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verily the earth belongs to Allah, and it shall be inherited by those whom He wills of His servants. وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. And the end, the good end will be with those who love and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surah At-Tawbah, the ninth surah, verse 32, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يُرِيدُونَ أَن يُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَاللَّهُ مُتِمُّ نُورِهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. صدق الله العظيم. Allah says, there are those who wish to extinguish نور الله, the light of Allah. What is the light of Allah? Justice, peace, prosperity, progress. This is what Islam came for. They want to extinguish all that for mankind. بِأَفْوَائِهِمْ, with their tongues, with their propaganda, whatever they may do. But Allah says, the main thing they will use is, they will use their tongues to spread lies about Islam and to try and extinguish the light of Islam. وَيَأْبَى اللَّهُ إِلَّا أَن يُتِمَّ نُورَهُ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will perfect His light. You want to put the light on? You can try. But Allah says, no load shedding. Always light. You can try and put out that light. You can't put out that light, says Allah. Even that light, Allah will keep, that light will burn until the end, until Qiyamah. It will light, enlighten the world till the day of Qiyamah. وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. Even though there are many who reject this, many who dislike it. So in the light of Allah, the light of Allah, of course, is Islam. And the Risala of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there are those forces that have employed everything, mainly their mouths, Maaz can refer to a lot of things. Maaz is represents the media, TV, radio, newspapers, the internet. They will employ everything that can, that will try and extinguish the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they will all fail. Because Allah says, I will complete my light. And the amount of money they spend, subhanallah, in trying to extinguish this light. The amount of money they spend in fighting Islam, it's amazing. It's amazing how much wealth Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them. Immeasurable wealth, resources that we don't know what the resources they have. And they're using all of it with one intent: to destroy this deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as I said, they use newspapers, they use governments, police forces, armies, the most modern of weapons, drones, satellites. And what do Muslims say? The weak amongst us, they say, oh, you know, we can't, we can't oppose them. We can't fight them. It's impossible, you know. We will never win. So we have to create alternative strategies. And what are these alternative strategies they talk about? They say we should use diplomacy, politics, compromise, negotiation, even sacrifice some of our religious commitments and obligations. So we should tell our women not to wear a scarf. They must fit into society. Their faith is in their heart. Don't ask for this and don't ask for that. Go with the flow, as they say. And in the end, Allah knows what is in your heart. That's what they say. And of course, even the Islam, they compromise. They talk about mainstream Islam, and they talk about Islam that is on the left, on the right. SubhanAllah. Brothers and sisters, we are just Muslims, and we only have one deen, and that is Islam. There is no prefix to Muslim. We can't talk about mainstream Islam and this kind of Islam and tolerant Islam and intolerant Islam and terrorist Islam. No, we are just Muslim. We just believe in La ilaha illallah, Muhammadun Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Anfal, the 8th surah, verse number 36, فَسَيُنْفِقُونَهَا ثُمَّ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِمْ حَسْرَةً ثُمَّ يُغْلَبُونَ. We speak about the money that they spend. And this is not a secret. This is all over. Everybody knows this. Everybody can see this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, subhanAllah, look what Allah says. Because Allah is the creator of the universe. He's created our lives. He's written the history book for us before He created the universe. He says, فَسَيُنْفِقُونَهَا. They will spend their wealth, Allah says. They will. Sa, the word sa means, sa and sofa means in the future. They will spend their wealth. And what will happen? ثُمَّ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِمْ حَسْرًا. They will spend their wealth to fight the deen of Islam, as I said. And what will happen at the end? They will lose their direction and they will be defeated. But we say, how can they be defeated, Ya Rabbi? So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, let them spend their money, because that is how they will be defeated. SubhanAllah. Do you ever think that by spending all that money, trillions and trillions of rands and trillions of euros and trillions of dollars, how is it possible? Let's look at some of those expenses. We just take a guess. Imam Mulaki just takes a guess and he says, the Korean War cost about $200 trillion. A long time ago. The Vietnam War cost about $400 trillion. The latest wars that we've been fighting all over the place, Afghanistan and Iraq, in Yemen, all over the Middle East, cost about $1,000 trillion. SubhanAllah. $1,000 trillion. I mean, if you spend so much money, you certainly, you're bleeding to death. And Imam Malaki says the economies will bleed to death. He said this before the coronavirus. And this is exactly what is happening. The most stable economies, the richest economies in the world are going bankrupt. It's not just a statement that I'm making. It's a fact. They themselves are saying this. They themselves are saying that they're reaching the level of bankruptcy. So it is exactly following what the ayah says, and they shall spend of their wealth until they despair and until they will be yughlabun. They will be conquered. Who brought this upon themselves? We didn't bring this upon them. Islam didn't do this to them. Muslims didn't do this to them. This is of their own making. Their armies and their wealth, they have it. And now, subhanallah, after spending all this money, they're going broke. One would think they will get richer and richer. They're actually going broke. And they're admitting to the fact that they're going broke. Just like Abu Jahl. Abu Jahl, Nabi Sallallahu went to intercept the caravan of Abu Sufyan. And he missed the caravan of Abu Sufyan. Abu Sufyan evaded the Muslims. So Abu Sufyan sent a message to Abu Jahl. Abu Jahl was the commander of the Meccan army. He told Abu Jahl in the letter, please don't come. The caravan is safe. We've evaded Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so please don't come. Don't bother to come. Spend your energy and whatever else. Don't come. So Abu Jahl got the message and he said, what? Don't come. Those few poorly, I mean, how many can they be? They don't even have swords. I mean, really? This is going to be we're going to go there 3 days before the time, Abu Jahl says. We're going to wait for them. And then we'll party for 3 days. We'll take our women worth, we'll take our wine worth, and we'll dance, and we'll have a great party. And then Muhammad Sam will just slaughter them. End of story. Abu Sufyan said, but there's no point in fighting them. Why must you start a war when there's no need for a war? So for 3 days they partied. And we know what happened. They fought the battle and they lost. In fact, it was the beginning of the victory of Islam until today. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in a hadith Qudsi, "Man aada li waliyan," Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Man aada li waliyan faqad adantu bil harb." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "And he who takes my friends as enemies, I will wage war against them." What does Allah say? Those who take as friends my enemies, wherever they may be, whatever religion they may be, if they wage war against me, I will wage war against them. So now, are the Muslims waging war against them? No, we're not waging war against them. There's no war between them and Muslims. Muslims are too weak to fight a war. In fact, we are their partners in the war in the wars which they fight. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah 24, verse 55, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ وَلَيُمَكِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ دِينَهُمْ الَّذِي ارْتَضَى لَهُمْ وَلَيُدْخِلَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ خَوْفِهِمْ أَمْنًا يَعْبُدُونَنِي لَا يُشْرِكُونَ بِي شَيْئًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ. Allah doesn't say, I say. Allah says, the Quran says, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ. Allah promises. Allah makes a wa'd, a promise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, creator of the heavens and the earth, makes the following promise. What is the promise Allah makes? وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ. Allah promises those of you who believe, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, and those of you who do good, لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Your inheritance will be the dunya. You'll inherit this world. And when you've inherited this world, وَلَيُمَكِّنَنَّ كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. You will inherit it like those before you inherited it. وَلِيُمَكِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ دِينَهُمْ. And I will establish your deen. I will establish الَّذِي ارْتَضَى لَهُمْ, which I have chosen for them. Allah chose. Allah chose Islam. Allah says, my choice. مِنْ بَعْدِ خَوْفِ. And I will give them, after their fear, I will give them peace and security. يَعْبُدُونَنِي. They worship me and they make no shirk. They give me no partners. وَعْدَ اللَّهِ. Allah says in the Quran, وَعْدَ اللَّهِ. إِنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٌّ. That the promise of Allah is true. What is the promise? Allah says, to the believers, they will inherit the earth. They will have security. Subhanallah. So that is not yet here. It's coming. Muslims are now in a state of fear. We're now in a state of fear. Because overwhelming odds against us. When we look at us and we look at the rest of the world, we see that we have no chance at all. We have to be second best and we have to do what the ruling elite tells us in the world. We can't even take back Masjid al-Aqsa. Small piece of land. We are nearly 2 billion Muslims. We can't. We live in fear, whether it's in Yemen, whether it's in Syria, whether it's in Libya, whether it's wherever, whether it's the refugees going to Europe. Muslims are in fear everywhere that they are, that they live. So Muslims are now in a state of fear. May Allah give us that security soon, inshallah, and for the whole of the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also promised the world, promised the Muslims, khilafatul ard, that there will be the khilafah. They will be the people who will lead the world. They will be the juristic, legalistic, judicial government, the government of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the deen will be established. Let's look at some of the ahadith or some of the history of the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sometimes you hear people say, we live in times when the ummah is weak. Say, oh, you know, we're just weak. The ummah is defeated, we are defeated. Everywhere we have a war, we are defeated. The ummah is diminished, becoming smaller and smaller. And many people are saying, those of us who are religious, those of us who read history, those of us who learn, what do we say? We say, oh, I wish we lived in the time of the Sahaba. Wouldn't it have been wonderful to live in the time of the Sahaba? Radiallahu ta'ala anhum wa radu an. Allah is pleased with them. And they are pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They loved with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Never mind the poverty, never mind everything else. It's a lovely life to lead, being in the company of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Tabi'een said, the Tabi'een, of course, is the generation that came after the Sahaba. They met the Sahaba, but they did not meet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one day they asked the Sahaba, they said, how did you treat the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What was your relationship with the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he was living among you? Tell us. So the Sahaba talked about how they used to deal with the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how they loved the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how they defended the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how they learned from the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And they said, we tried to deal with him in the best way possible. So the answer, what else could they say? They said, we tried to be with him in the best way that we possibly could. The Tabi'in responded, what did they say? They said, subhanallah, if Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to live amongst us, we would have treated him like nobody's ever been treated in the dunya. Subhanallah. Well, they were saying this, if maybe the Sahaba wasn't good enough, they would have done a better job. We would have treated him like this. And then one Sahabi got up and he said, He said, you know, you're saying you would have treated him better. That's what we understand by what you're saying. But he says, you don't know that. You don't know. You don't know the circumstances. You don't know how hard it was in the times that we lived. And you have no means to know. Do you know the situation we were in the time of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? He said, we were fighting our brothers. We were fighting our fathers. We were fighting our sons. It wasn't an easy thing. Do you know that? Battle of Badr. Abu Jahl's army, they were brothers of them. They were sons of them. They were, subhanAllah, cousins of them on the other side, and they were on this side. When your father is, your brother is not a Muslim, your mother is not a Muslim, your father is not a Muslim, even your wife left you, subhanAllah. So they said it wasn't easy. First, we had to fight our family before we fought the idol worshippers. So it wasn't an easy thing. And they said to them, the Sahaba said to the Tabi'in, so do not wish and do not ask for something which Allah did not destine for you. Don't wish for how others lived. I mean, some people say they'd have loved to live in the time, you know, in Spain, subhanAllah, when Islam was flourishing, you know, and they were building palaces and gardens that is still there today. Or lived in the time of the Ottoman Empire, you know, when they conquered, you know, half of Europe and they conquered Asia, and people lived like kings and queens, you know. So this is number one. We don't know how the Sahaba lived with the Prophet and the challenges they faced. So if we say we want to be like the Sahaba and live like the Sahaba, would have loved to do that. Don't ask for that because you don't know. The important thing is, says Imam Al-Laqi, we should not complain about our own time. Because this is our time. We have no other time, brothers and sisters. You're only going to live in this time. Including 2020. This is our time. Corona, this is our time. This time we live in. We say, Alhamdulillah. Shouldn't be complaining about this time. Oh, our children are going astray. Oh, this is doing that. Oh, people are being killed. Oh, what's going to happen? Complain all the time. This is our time. Imagine you had to go to war with your father and kill your father on the battlefield or your son. Would you have done that? Would you think that's a better time than this time? We should be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you look at the status of the Sahaba, subhanAllah, Allah gave them the highest status amongst the Muslim Ummah. Of all the generations, Prophet ﷺ said, my Qarn, my generation will be the best generation. They're the highest generation. They're the generation that's going to fill the Jannah. Not fill the Jannah completely, but they will be in Jannah. Why? Because Allah says, I'm pleased with them. Radiallahu anhum wa radu anhum. Where else could they go? And no exception. Allah didn't say the exception. Allah says, all the Sahaba, every single one of them, of the thousands that were there, they'll all go to paradise. Why? Allah's very generous with them. SubhanAllah. Why? Because for the following reasons. Number one, the Sahaba had to build Islam from nothing. They had to build Islam from scratch. They had to start with Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Khalaq al-insana min alaq. Few verses. All they had in the beginning. And then the wahi stayed away for a while. They didn't know. Prophet was worried. What happened? So when the Sahaba came, there was nothing. The field was barren. It was dry. Nothing was growing. The Sahaba, they built the foundation. They had to dig and build the foundation of this deen. And those who come after them, like we, including us, we find a mashallah building that we can be proud of. The building of Islam. SubhanAllah. So this building was there. We just paint it every time and make it more beautiful. But the building was there complete. And if there's something broken, we may fix it. For example, if there was bid'ah, you know, the generations coming after the tabi'een would fix it and say, no, no, this is not part of the sunnah. This is, you know, don't do this, don't do that. Go back to the sunnah. They would ask the sahaba, because sahaba, they knew the sahaba. Sahaba was this. They would ask Abdullah ibn Abbas and Abdullah ibn Umar and ask them, did the Prophet do this? Did the Prophet not do this? So they were the best generation because they had the most difficult job. Ask any builder what is the most difficult job. If you build on a mountain on the hillside, for example, ask him what to lay the foundations. Foundations is very, very important. And it is important for us to realize and to find out what is our role. What is the demand that Allah's put on us to fulfill the vision of Islam? Because the things that the tabi'een emphasized was different from the things that the people who came after them emphasized. Tabi'een came after the sahaba. Their generation was different from the generations that came after them. Let me give you an example. So there was the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with the Sahaba. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed away. Sahaba was, a lot of Sahaba still lived, was behind. That was one generation. Then came another generation called the Tabi'een. Tabi'een means followers. Followers of who? Followers of the Sahaba. Then Tabi'at Tabi'een, the followers of the Sahaba. And every generation had its own mission. If Al-Bukhari, for example, Imam Al-Bukhari collected the first set of a hadith, most authentic hadith. If he had come 100 years later than what he came, and Imam Bukhari came about, I would say about 1,200 years ago. He was in Bukhara. He went to Makkah and he learned there and he collected all the hadith. And we'll talk about that some other time, inshallah. If he had come 100 years later and collected all those hadith, it would have been totally different. Because there would be other people who would have preceded him in that. If Imam Shafi'i came 100 years later, he would have been different. Wouldn't have been the same. If you read the history, you will see that the four Imams all came in the same era, in the same generation. They were members of the same generation. Imam Shafi'i, Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik, Ibn Ahmad, Ibn Hanbal. And if you look at the six Imams, the six authentic books of hadith written by the six Imams, all those six Imams lived in the same generation. Subhanallah. So, the time of Imam Shafi, Abu Hanifa, Ahmad ibn Hanbal, that was the time when the world needed fiqh. So they developed the fiqh. Allah put them there at the time when the world needed for somebody to explain the sunnah and the Quran in detail to the Muslims. Came the time of ahadith. The hadith came, yeah, hadith. There was a need at that time for the ahadith of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to be written down and to be followed and to be integrated into the fiqh. So you see, every age came with its need. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the people to fulfill that need in that age. So the question we ask, must ask ourselves is, what is the best Islam? How can we serve Islam the best? What is the best way to serve Islam? All of us have different views on this. Alhamdulillah, different views. Some people emphasize da'wah. Some people say, oh, we must go out, we must give da'wah, we must convert people to Islam. We must even make the Muslims better Muslims. Go from masjid to masjid, go from door to door. Write books, write pamphlets, have conversations, have debates with non-Muslims. Say da'wah is very, very important. There are others, of course, who say, no, but we study tawheed. We have to learn who Allah is before we can become good Muslims. They also correct. People who say da'wah, they correct. There's a need for that. The people who say we must teach people tawheed, it's so correct. Because we are so away, far away from tawheed. We practice so much innovation, astaghfirullah, that will take us a while to get back to our roots. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always keep us on tawheed, inshallah. So we need to find out what is it that we really need today. And one of the things, if we look at today and we look at the time of the Sahaba, is that the time of the Sahaba and our time is the same. There are similarities between the time in which we live. When I say the time in which we live, I mean now 2020, and the time of the Sahaba. Radiallahu ta'ala anhum wa arda. Why? Why do I say that? Why did Imam Al-Aqi say that? Because he says, if we look at us today, we have reached the lowest level. We have reached the lowest level in 14 centuries. We are the weakest militarily. In terms of knowledge, we are the weakest. Knowledge is in the West. If you want to be recognized as a scholar, you must go to Harvard or Oxford. And if you want to be recognized in any field, if you have a certificate from England or a certificate from America or from France or from Germany, you get the job first. If you say, well, I qualified in Saudi Arabia or in Yemen or in any Muslim country in Egypt, they say, well, you know. So, the time that we are complaining of now is very similar to the time of the Sahaba. And the Sahaba didn't complain. SubhanAllah, they welcomed it. It's not really the same. But it is most similar. Of all the generations between the Sahaba and our time, we, this generation, has the most similarities with the Sahaba. The first similarity we have with the Sahaba is that we have no Islamic authority. Sahaba came, there was no authority. They were oppressed, they were beaten, they were killed. They were stretched out on the desert sands. Stones were placed on their stomachs. Their wealth was taken away. They were expelled from their home, Makkah. There's nothing they could do. They became refugees in Medina. Same as it is today. Because there's no authority that can defend us. And so, Imam Al-Aqi now goes into... So if we are like it was in the time of the Sahaba, what should our response be in the time that we live in? And this makes it very exciting, I think, to live in this time. Because if our circumstances are like the circumstance of the Sahaba, then we have opportunity to go to Jannah. SubhanAllah. We have an opportunity to bring Sahaba, build the foundation. We have an opportunity to rebuild, not to rebuild, but to strengthen that foundation. Of course, you know what happened at the end of the time of the Sahaba. They conquered the world. Sahaba started in Makkah as refugees going to Medina and to Habasha, to Ethiopia. And within 100 years, the known world didn't accept Islam. There was no forced... people were not forced into Islam. They were not forced to become Muslims. Islam controlled science, knowledge, education. They built the first hospitals, the first universities, the first civilizations. SubhanAllah. So we now need to look maybe more closer at the time of the Sahaba. And inshallah, when we continue next week, we will unpack further the enlightenment which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to this Muslim brother, the Shaykh. And inshallah, at the end of the series of lectures, I will give an insight into the life of this Yemeni Imam. He died at the age of 40, he was a young man. And he died now in... I think it was 2013. He was killed, in fact, So, inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give inshallah. I apologize for last week. My brother Haji Fahmi passed away, and I want to make dua for him. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must grant him Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must grant all the deceased Jannah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must grant us Jannah, inshallah. Allah must protect us in these challenging times. They're not difficult, they're challenging. I think for every Muslim, it's challenging. For every person that I was, so I, when I make dua, I always say, Ya Allah, linnasi ajba'in, for all of humanity. If I ask for health, I ask linnasi ajba'in. If I ask for wealth, if I ask for health and goodness, I ask for linnasi ajba'in. I always think to my mind, Allah created everybody. I can make dua, Allah can accept or not. Allah can decide, mashallah, with that dua, I'm going to make so many of them Muslim. Subhanallah. So always make dua, yes, lil muslimina wal muslimat wal nasi ajma'in. And because we all suffer under the same difficult circumstances, we make dua for our neighbors. We may not be Muslim, we make dua for them. We are there only to make dua. Can we make dua for non-Muslims? I always like to tell the story. Maybe I should just tell the story before I make the dua. Abu Sufyan was related to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I think a cousin of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he hated the Nabi like no one else in Makkah. For 20 years, he tried to kill the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. 20 years. Always waiting for the chance to kill the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He didn't succeed. So while in Makkah, Fatima was growing up. She was a small girl. She was running in the sand, of course. And she fell. And you know, little girls, when they fall, first thing they do is they start crying. So she got up and she was crying. And Abu Sufyan came along. And he picked her up and he dusted her off. And he wiped the tears. And she ran, of course, to her daddy, to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. She ran to her daddy. But what happened? She says, yes, I was running and Abi and I fell and Abu Sufyan came past and he picked me up and he dusted me off. What do you think Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did? If your worst enemy and the worst enemy of Islam does that to your child, what would you say to your child? I think our first reaction is my child. If it happens again, don't allow him to touch you. Or don't allow him to do anything. Just come home, just run home quickly. No. Prophet raised his hands. He said, Oh Allah, Ya Allah, la tansaha li Abi Sufyan. He said, Oh Allah, don't forget this good deed of Abu Sufyan. Don't forget this good deed of his enemy. And what happened? Allah accepted his dua. By that one good deed of this idol worshipper. The good deed he did in the time of his idol worship. By the dua of the Prophet ﷺ. He became one of the greatest sahaba. His son Muawiyah became the khalifa of the Muslimin. Abu Sufyan said, I used to go to jihad with the Nabi ﷺ and after the Nabi ﷺ. And my job was to inspire the soldiers to fight. I used to walk in between the safs of the soldiers and inspire them with Allah and with his prophet so they could fight. So when you make dua for your neighbors and your friends who are non-Muslim, Allah may accept your dua. May Allah accept our duas. Inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين اللهم اغفر له وارحمه وأسكنه في الجنة اللهم اغفر له وارحمه وأسكنه في الجنة اللهم اغفر له وارحمه وأسكنه في الجنة وتجاوز عن سيئاته واحشره مع النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين اللهم انقله من ضيق القبر واللحود إلى جنتك جنات الخلود في ظل ممدود وماء مسكوبة وفاكهة كثيرة لا مقطوعة ولا ممنوعة وفرش مرفوعة مع الذين أنعمت عليهم من النبيين والصديقين وشهداء وصالحين اللهم ادخل الجنة بغير حساب اللهم ادخل الجنة بغير عقاب Ya Allah, anta waliyyu dhalik wal qadiru alayhi. Allahumma bayyid wajhahu yawma tabyaddu wujuh wa taswaddu wujuh. Allahumma thabbit qadamayhi ala as-sirat yawma tazillu fihi al-aqdam. Allahumma ati kitabahu bi yaminihi. Allahumma la tu'ti kitabahu bi shimalihi wa la wara'a adhari. Allahumma arihu raihat al-jannah. Allahumma arihu raihat al-jannah. Allahumma arihu raihat al-jannah. يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات وضاعف الحسنات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم اغفر لأهل القبور من المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات ارفع لهم الدرجات وكفر عنهم سيئات يا أرحم الراحمين. وصلى اللهم على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم. اللهم افتح لنا بالخير واختم لنا بالخير واجعل واقب أمورنا بالخير. بيدك الخير والعافية إنك على كل شيء قدير. دعوهم فيها سبحانك اللهم وتحيتهم فيها سلام وآخر دعواهم أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته.